The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Intern Dan.
Katie Pills.
And Ryan Pills
in the house.
So no Kevin and Melissa today. And you shouldn't feel sorry for them because they're on some kind of luxurious Caribbean cruise thing now.
What? How did I not know this?
You didn't?
Oh, no.
Surprise.
I had no idea that they were going somewhere.
Yeah, her family or something. They went on that Alaskan cruise a couple years ago, loved it so much. They were like, let's hit the other side of the continent. And so they're cruising in the sweet Caribbean seas right now.
Yeah. He was short on luggage space, so he took his quiver full of games, so they still probably have 20 games with them.
He does cram quite a few in there. But we had fun without them anyway. We played some games tonight and this week. What were some of the games you guys were playing?
Well, we had some family over this week, and we got to bust out some classics. I got to relearn Sulcan, and we played Kingsburg. It's been a while since those have come to the table.
Yeah.
We also played Kami-sama again with the non-two-player variant for the first time. The two-player variant has this Kitsune deck that plays additional cards and just messes you up randomly.
It has like a randomly programmed movement as if it was a third player, but they always attacked Ryan. the random ones attacked Ryan
instead of having
every time.
The Kitsune deck randomly attack me. I had Philip Little on purpose attacking me.
Way more
which
satisfying.
Was a lot different.
But did he play better than the AI in the game, or did he?
I think so, but okay. I think it's the one. I don't remember how it went, but it was a lot of fun.
I think Ryan just kind of dominated all the games we played all week, just to be honest.
I did dominate majorly at Kingsburg, and it really disturbed me.
Was this
because
the new version?
I was like three times beyond their score.
Really?
Wow. On Sulcan. I was like, when are you guys, what is your engine going to kick in? I'm not doing that well. I didn't pay for my villagers like three times in a row. I kept losing points. And I still ended up like in the 80s and they were in like the 30s.
Wow. It was bad. It was so bad.
But Kingsburg, my brother-in-law beat me.
So. Oh,
did he? Oh, yeah. That's because I had to go fix lunch and I missed the counting of those points.
I'm sure. That's what happened.
I know. I was pretty low on that one.
But it was a lot of fun.
That's cool. Sarah and I got to play Gaoshan Clever finally for the first time this week. And I think we might have had one of the rules wrong the first time we played it.
Yeah.
Then the second time we felt pretty good about our scores. But then tonight we played it with Valerie. Criminy. She like wiped the floor with my old score.
Yeah. Yeah. You had like, I don't know,
115 or something, I think.
She had almost 300.
What? On her first playthrough.
Wow. Yeah. She's like, I just made sure to chain something every single turn. Like,
if we could make sure of that, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. That's funny because... To clarify for the audience, Valerie is our non-gamer, you know.
She may be the luckiest person I've ever met, though.
She's the non-gamer that comes over and hangs out for socializing, but then, like, randomly will just, kill us. Yeah, at these games.
Yeah, it's a roll and write, so everybody's kind of, like, taking the same actions. So to be able to optimize your score that much is impressive.
Yeah,
that was
we both had very high scores. I think we took great advantage of re-rolls, so, yeah. Because my score was 255, which was the highest I had.
300 is insane, though. I can't. I must be doing something wrong.
What did you play this week, Dan?
This week I played Edge of Humanity from Golden Egg Games. Deck builder, it's different. It's one of those where you're using your cards as resources, and everything you're doing, you're trashing cards in order to get different cards. So It really fits in with the end of the world type theme.
Because you're constantly getting
constantly using your resources to hopefully get better cards.
Yeah.
So that was fun. Introduced that to some new people, and then I played some more Keyforge.
Oh, yeah.
Always a good time with that. Except a guy in my group finally got a deck that seems to be better than mine. I'm in trouble there. But
you schooling everybody so far.
Yeah, I was until the other day when he whipped me twice. So. What it was still fun.
What's his deck named?
Oh, goodness, I cannot remember.
It's nothing really interesting.
No.
Unfortunately. No. Has he bought several decks and this was like the one that did the trick? Or
He has four now. Okay. So, I mean, he's not crazy over the top with it. No.
How many do you have?
I only have three.
Oh, okay.
Only
three.
I'm doing
Katie,
okay.
How many do you have, Katie?
I have one.
Only one. Oh, okay.
It's like a fortune cookie. This is my deck.
I was actually in Boardwalk today and I saw that they had more. And I made it out of there without purchasing anymore.
Ooh, so, yeah. They're back in stock, though.
They are back in stock, yeah.
How long will that last for?
Probably.
Maybe a week?
Yeah, say end of the week, they'll be gone.
Very cool. Well, we've got an interview that we want to get to later. We also have our Kickstarter Conniption coming up. And then I have a little surprise game for some people later in the game. So hang around for that, y'all. But I think right now we're ready to jump into our Kickstarter Conniption.
Kickstarter Conniption!
This episode will be talking about six games coming to Kickstarter the week of March 11th, 2019. Intern Dan, start us off.
All right, on March 12th, we have The Goblin King is Angry. It is by Johnny Hinkle and Billy Miller and Ion Games.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 3-6 player, 45-minute type game. We actually played it tonight.
Yeah,
we
had it on the table.
I think the Ion is It's In Our Nature games.
Yes, that is correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like a tower defense flipped on its head.
Yes.
Tower attack.
Yeah.
Tower kinda, offense.
It kind of looks like Castle Panic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought when I first saw it. I was like, oh, it's reverse Castle Panic.
Yeah, and I think kind of to a certain extent, that's what it is. You've got a big castle in the middle. Everybody plays as the goblins and higher level goblinders. What are those called, Ryan?
Hobgoblins.
Oh, hobgoblins and then Ogryn.
Ogryn, that's correct. And so you each control your own little fort, your own fortress? No, what's the word I'm looking for? Army of them. And you have your own unique player power, and then each round you're bringing more of your ogres out to try to advance them on the castle and take the castle down. The castle reveals its own, it has like human heroes and wizards and paladins and things that it's tossing out at you, and you have to defeat those, and then get enough of your cubes around the castle at the end of the game to take it down.
Now, there's some take that, you know, with you can purchase those cards from the middle, and I could, you know, I deliberately dropped a tower right in the middle of Melissa's stuff, and it started knocking her stuff back. So some take that, grid movement type play.
I liked that everybody had their own unique power, which may or may not have made the game easier for some people.
You feel like this weren't balanced enough?
No, I don't know. I didn't win, so.
Something was wrong with the game. Yeah. Ryan didn't win.
It was clearly unbalanced.
The game mechanic for winning is a little bit like Smash Up, where on any of the bad guys that are in the game, you have to have enough surrounding characters to take it down, and then whoever places that final death blow dealing goblin gets the points for it. I managed to get just straight up lucky, really. I don't really I don't think I did anything strategic to make it to where on my turn we ended up with our 20th.
You didn't even know what your player power was halfway right. through. Oh, wait, I'm supposed to be doing this.
But I think I did take it down and won the game, luckily.
Yes.
But pretty cool stuff. It was a good concept. I like the idea that they were going for.
Yeah, definitely. Katie, what are you looking at?
I am talking about Fuji Koro. And this is a 2-5 player game by Game Brewer. And it is an interesting, like, of course, Asian-themed game. But it's about adventurers who are running into a hidden temple that's located near a volcano that's ready to erupt, Mount Fuji. And then they're trying to save some sacred scrolls or something like that. And It sounds like there's just a ton going on in this game, because there's going to be some tile placement, there's pressure luck, there's dice rolling, and you are trying to move through all of these different areas, collect different things, and trying to make it out alive, because at the end, it sounds like there's going to be player elimination, because people can die in, or not, you know, your characters in the game. It's not a deathmatch. They can die, and so it's whoever makes it out and then has the most victory points with the like the sacred scrolls they've collected is going to win on this. So it looks, the art looks really neat. I was just saying that it's almost got a Lego looking look to the art.
Yeah.
And so it has this almost like, it looks sort of like Ninjago.
I agree.
It looks... I asked the experts, the parents of the boys, does this look like Ninjago to you?
We have confirmed.
Like Lego Ninjago.
Yeah. So anyway, that is the Fuji Koro. Ryan.
Coming March 11th from Vento Nuovo Games is Kiev 41. And this is the third game in a trilogy of games that this company's brought forth. It's also brought out Moscow 41 and Leningrad 41. So these three games together depict the Axis invasion of the Soviet Union during World War II. So it's a strategy war game simulation. You're using these little colored blocks that have designs on them that indicate what kind of units and formations they are, and you're advancing across this map towards Kiev and the Caucasus. So if you've played Moscow 41, this is the same basic game engine as Moscow 41, but with some tweaked rules to kind of incorporate the atmosphere of this Southern Front invading the Ukraine. And so that is what it is. Definitely check it out if you're into strategy war games. I think the first two turned out pretty successful. So definitely check out Kiev 41 coming March 11th.
I like that too, because I know a lot of times, especially over here in America, we focus on the American battles. And I've always wondered, well, what else was going on in the war?
Well, if you look at a globe, we are in the middle.
Oh, right.
The center of importance. Well,
that's cool. That's interesting.
That is a good fact.
Will, what do you got?
So I'm looking at Glenmore 2 Chronicles. It's from designer Matthias Kramer, and it's being published by Fun Tales. This is a, I don't even really know how to describe it. Glenmore is a game that many consider to be a classic. I have actually not played it yet, so I feel a little dumb on that. But the new version is a little bit of a retelling, a little bit of an expansion. In fact, if you look at their description, they say that the game consists of one-third known systems, one-third new mechanisms, and one-third improvements to Glenmore. So this is one-third better? I don't know.
two-thirds. Two-thirds better.
Two-thirds better with the math on there.
And if
yeah.
it's a classic, then it was already good to start off with.
Right. And so the game itself is, it's got kind of that rondel action in it. It also has it's one of those games where, and I think Glenmore might be the originator of this, it's the type of game where the guy, you on your turn, you can decide like how far along the track you want to go, and if you want to go 8 spaces, great, your guy can go 8 spaces, and then the next guy coming behind you can go as many spaces as he wants as long as he doesn't pass you, or as long as he doesn't pass any players in front of him. So you could like jump ahead to get the really good tile that you want, but then the guy behind you might take like 4 more turns basically before your turn comes around, mm-hmm. where he's collecting a bunch more tiles. And so you have to pay for those tiles. It's a tile placement game. You're building out your community. The Chronicles part of the game is, I guess there are like 8 mini expansion type of things that go with the game. And so the designer doesn't recommend that you play with all 8 of them. I think the play time on it is like 90 minutes for if you just have 1 or 2 of the Chronicles added in. Mm-hmm. So a lot of different ways to play the game, which obviously is going to up the replayability on it quite a bit. The artwork for it looks super cool. That's one of the one-third improvements. And the box for it is an interesting shape.
What? Let me come see.
It's not that... Okay, I'm sorry that I made it sound more interesting than maybe it is. It's a rectangle. It's like the size of a Monopoly board.
Oh, no, that was the prototype.
I think the real thing is strangely big like that. So, I don't know. I could be wrong, but it's not like a normal, you know, it's not like the normal square-ish board game.
I was
that
hoping
we've
for like
so,
a pyramid yeah. shape or something, size Will.
It's
or
unique
dimensions.
In that it harkens back to the classics.
Aspect ratio.
There you go. All
I
those
don't
things.
Know.
It was not a unique shape. A rectangle is not a unique shape.
Yes. Not a unique shape for a board game box, Will.
Okay. It is not a unique shape. But I found it to be intriguing.
Sarah, come back to me when you have a pyramid-shaped box.
Okay.
All right. Coming March 14th is Root, the Underworld expansion.
Ooh.
This is another expansion in the Root for the Root game. This is designed by Patrick Leader this time. The base game was by Cole Worley and same artist Kyle Farron. In Root, the Underworld, there are two new factions. There are crows.
Should we
guess them? Oh, no.
Moles.
Moles, I would have guessed it.
Moles. I wouldn't have guessed...
Crows.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed crows, but maybe moles.
I would have guessed
moles and crows are natural enemies.
Yes.
And
are
crows
they?
Crows are like under...
I don't know.
crows... I was like...
Crows are really scared of moles.
Didn't know they had any sort of interactions.
I think the crows can change up the way that the Eyrie faction works.
Mm-hmm.
And then there will be a couple new building types in the expansion. And there will be a couple new things with the maps. On the mountain side, the moles will be able to make tunnels. And then there will be differences on the lake side with controlling the fairies that will happen on the lake. So check out Root, the Underworld expansion, coming March 14th.
I got excited because I was just looking at the weight of the expansion, and it's less than the original, which makes me excited. Because maybe I'll be able to remember more than one faction and be able to play the game.
All right. Dan, do you have one more?
Yes. On March 12th, or possibly a little earlier, but look for it. March 12th is Taco Fight. It's coming from Daniel Aronson. It is a 1-4 player, really 5-6 minute type of game, cooperative, where the tacos are angry about all the bad things you've been doing to them. So they are coming after you and they are attacking you and trying to send you into a food coma. You're all working together. It's very fast paced. It felt to me kind of like a Pit or a Nerds kind of thing. Dutch Blitz, just really bam, 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 as fast as you can go.
But it's cooperative.
It is cooperative.
I feel like that was the odd part of this. It was cooperative chaos. It was like, here, I eat your taco for you. I eat your taco.
And it's interesting because you're building
tacos.
Who's
got guacamole?
You're fighting tacos and you're eating
tacos
all at the same time.
I can understand why
they're angry. You're slamming or smashing tacos.
Smashing tacos.
Could be smashing tacos.
I'm in favor of all of the things except for the smashing of tacos. It's just a waste of good.
It would be gratifying though, like because. Some of the special cards, you know, one of them is a burrito, and that's the one that you have to smash. And just the thought of pounding out a burrito.
Ooh, I've never thought of that, but
it just popped into my head. It's like,
I hope their Kickstarter has a video of somebody like smashing
that.
A burrito.
Yes. Yeah.
It has to be a nice good one, like the most
big
home record.
Yeah, big
yeah,
that
the
one.
SNL, the Saturday Night Live Taco Town Taco special.
That should be the Uber boss you have to fight in Taco Fight. They missed an opportunity.
Right. We watched that video to get us in the spirit of Taco Fight. It was pretty great.
We lost, which is the sad part.
I know.
By just one. Brian. One person.
Who didn't understand.
It's okay.
Next time.
That you have to hold your deck in your hand if you're going to do it fast.
Right.
He was so upset we're making him use two hands to go through his cards.
And we were playing the normal mode.
Right, not even
there's,
the hard one.
Yeah, there's a hard mode where you bump up the amount of tacos that come and attack you. And then there's this madness mode where you're just constantly flipping the timer and you play the game in 3 minutes. And it's
oh, wow.
just...
I feel like you guys chaos. Needed me on this.
Yeah. We did.
We did.
We need to play the 3-minute version.
I'm like the Dutch Blitz Nerds champion.
Yep.
We
needed you.
Yeah. Brian was definitely rusty because he'd been gone for a month. He hadn't been
through. It's true.
So he's gonna
come back.
You have to give him a break.
Get his game on.
Yeah. So that's March 12th. So check out Taco Fight by Daniel Aronson.
Cool. We were just talking about Root a couple minutes ago. I think the interview that we're going to be doing tonight, we're going to be looking at the game Tsuki Yumi. Did I get
Tsuki
it close?
Yumi.
Closer. Closer. Which I've heard has been compared a little bit to Root, mostly just in the asymmetry. I'm not saying any of the words tonight. but let's go ahead and welcome our next house guest to the house. Let's say hi to Alex.
Hey!
I'm doing just fantastic. How are you, Will?
I'm doing very well. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. We've been running through a number of games in our rundown, and as we've talked through games coming to Kickstarter, we want to give some extra airtime to you guys. Tell us a little bit about your game, Tsuki Yumi. Did I get that even close to the real name?
Pretty close, yeah. Yeah, that wasn't too bad at all.
All right, good. Give us a rundown.
Yeah, so Tsuki Yumi Full Moon Down is an area control game. It was originally published in Germany by King Raccoon Games. It's gotten some ratings, got some love, but there just hasn't been a ton of copies over here in the U.S. just yet. And we are doing a miniatures version, a new version of that game, complete with miniatures, some rule tweaks. To give a sense of the story of the game and really what drew us as a company to this is just how immersive this story is. It's effectively, based on the name Full Moon Down, you might be able to guess this, a world in the future where the moon has come crashing down into the planet Earth. That has caused several weird things to happen. Among them, radioactive energy has created this race of boars. There's the insects have mutated as well into this aggressive army. There's a human faction, and then there's a cyber samurai. There's all sorts of these different factions battling for control over the Earth in the chaos after the moon crashed into the surface of the Earth. And
I'm just going to jump in because the artwork for this game is super cool looking. I don't know too much about King Raccoon Games. We probably should clarify that you're what's your title at Gray Fox Games?
Chief Noisemaker.
Boom. Love it. this game needs a lot of noise made about it. The artwork on their website is crazy. The animation and stuff. Is there more to the story than just the game? Is there like a cartoon I'm missing entirely? Or are they just excellent with their animation?
So here is the world of this. So what's beautiful is it's this gentleman named Felix Murdocat, who is both the publisher, the designer, and the illustrator. He's done several graphic novels. So he's sort of a little like Ryan Lockett from Red Raven Games. And he wears all of these hats and does just about everything. And is part of making this. And you'll see if you go on the website, in the story world, there are whole comics for each of these factions explaining how they came to be, what their backstory is, with little tips on how they fight. But with the original copies of the game, there were actual comics that came inside of the box to really further immerse you into the story of this.
Very cool. So you guys are bringing it to Kickstarter, and you're adding minis.
Yes. So one of the chief complaints about the original edition of this game is the standees. It just kind of crowds up the board. And this game is so immersive and has such a beautiful story behind it that it's best told with a little bit of plastic on the table. And in our case, a lot of plastic on the table. we're also making some slight tweaks to the rules just to make things a little bit easier to process with all those minis on the table, all that plastic on the table. But for the most part, it's the same game that people have come to know and love, just with that little extra upgraded touch of the plastic minis.
Very cool. So when is that coming to Kickstarter?
It's going to be launching on March 19th.
Excellent. So that's like a couple days after this episode will air. Give us an idea of what we can expect in the campaign. Is it going to be like premium and deluxe editions, or is it everybody's going to get the same set? What are we looking at as far as that goes?
Sure. So we're still fleshing out exact pledge levels, but there will be some base pledge levels. You can get the base copy of the game that comes with four factions, and then there will be add-ons where you can add on different expansions. There's a race of whales you can get that will crawl across the planet. There's the Dragonborn, some really cool dragon minis that will come with some of those sets. And then also for returning backers, because this was a previous campaign done by King Raccoon initially, we want to make sure that there's some way that they can get that upgraded experience as well. So there will be an option for them to upgrade what they've already picked up. So those are the main options.
That's very cool. Any idea what that base pledge level is going to be like?
In terms of cost?
Yes.
Yeah, as of the time of this recording, we haven't finalized that stuff just yet.
Okay. All right. Well, very cool.
Is there anything else with the board or any of the other components that will change from the original game?
Yeah, certainly when you're adding plastic into the mix, you want to make sure you have room for everything. So we're going to ensure that the board's just a little bit larger just to properly encompass and fit all of those minis. What's interesting with this game is because it's asymmetric, it's not quite as asymmetric as Root, but pretty darn near. Some factions have only a handful of minis. Some factions have a swarm of minis. For instance, the Dark Seed, which is the insects, have just an absolute ton. You want to be able to incorporate all of those and have them be easy to distinguish, easy to play with, and have this experience really work with minis. You know, it's one thing to have the plastic, but if the game isn't fun to play with it, what's the point? So, yeah, there's definitely going to be some adjustments made to have that be a successful experience.
I don't know what Root's weight is on BGG. It looks like Tsukuyomi is like a 3.56. Do you think it's heavier or lighter than Root?
So, and I could look up the weight score offhand. I would say it's a little bit lighter. So, oddly enough, BGG disagrees. BGG has it at a 3.47, just pulling it up. But it's I'd say they're fairly comparable. I might peg Tsukuyomi just a little bit lighter in my mind, if only that the factions, while they are very asymmetric, sometimes with Root it feels like they're just entirely different rule sets with the different factions.
Yes.
And with this game, although they have different objectives in different ways, the core rules that they all follow tend to be fairly similar.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good, and that sounds about right where I want to be at. The artwork for the game looks amazing. You said that this guy did all of it, which makes sense. Is he contributing to the Kickstarter campaign, or is that being run entirely by Gray Fox, or how does that mix working?
No, so it's very much a partnership. He's actually creating some additional content, some different modes of play to add to this as well. This is still his baby, and we didn't want to step on that. It's a formula that's already proven very successful in the early days of this game. We saw no reason to mess with that. So no, it's very much a partnership. He has a pretty strong involvement with this Kickstarter as well.
Very cool. Very cool. So I know you guys kind of just finished up War of the Worlds not too long ago. Is that right? When did that one complete?
Yeah, that one was late January was the last day for that campaign.
Okay. What's the fulfillment plan looking like on all that stuff?
Yeah. So I think we had a timeline of August on that. We're still sorting things out. That was another one that we brought over from overseas from a Russian publisher. We're still sorting out kind of some of the final details of that, but that should be on its way to the printer fairly soon, which should put us on track for delivering about what we promised. So should be in that around Gen Con timeframe.
Perfect. Awesome. And then do you guys already have big plans for the rest of the year? What other stuff can we expect coming from you guys? Any top secret things you want to reveal right now? No pressure.
Nothing top secret, but maybe something. So something that a lot of people know about from us coming this year is Reavers of Midgard, the sequel to Champions of Midgard.
Yes.
A bit of a Euro-y twist on that one. Got a great reception at BGGCon, which was really kind of the big coming out party for that game. The one that I will tell you about that hasn't gotten quite as much love, but I am a huge, huge, huge fan of, is this little game called Draw Your Own Conclusions. It's designed by Jay Cormier of Bamboozle Brothers fame.
Yeah, okay, cool.
And it is a drawing game a la Telestrations, but a cooperative game. And I will tell you, it's the loudest I have laughed testing anything in-house. And that's one that we intend to kind of push out and move quickly to get out for con season. I am in absolute love with that game, and I hope a lot of other people will feel the same way.
I'm smiling right now. Drawing games are some of my favorite. Party and loud games are also at the top of that list. So
we'll make sure it has a home in Tantrum House if you guys don't have it.
We can keep an ear out for that one. Very cool. Okay, so here's one of my favorite questions to ask people in general, aside from all things else. On your shelf of shame, what's the next thing that you need to get to the table to play soon?
Well, boy, I'm twisting my head, and this has to be something I have not played, period, correct?
Right. Yep. Still in shrink wrap.
Still in shrink wrap. All right.
If you have such things.
No, yeah. So I pride myself on not having a super huge collection, but if I'm looking over here at the current board game shelf, I would say I have a game on here that I'm intrigued by, and I haven't played yet, called Project Dreamscape.
Okay.
It's designed by Will and Sarah Reed. I don't know a ton about it other than that. Other than the artist.
I thought you were first. I was like, Will and Sarah, right?
No, not quite. Okay. Yeah, no, different Will and Sarah. That's a good point.
Apparently we need to meet them. I don't know.
It has really cute art. I don't know really anything about the gameplay, but that's the one on the shelf of shame to play. I need to get Fog of Love back to the table more with my girlfriend. So that's cool. Another one that's high on the agenda.
Awesome. Good stuff. Well, very cool. We're excited about Tsukuyomi. That looks fantastic. I had not really looked at it very much before our before we were planning for this conversation today. And I'm still watching the intro loop on the video. we need to give that website to our listeners for sure, because they definitely need to get their eyes on that. Tell us where else they can find out about Gray Fox Games and everything else you guys are doing.
Absolutely. You can follow us on social media at Gray Fox Games on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook, find us on Instagram, and our newsletter is pretty well regarded, a good subscriber base there, and tends to be something where you can win some really cool prizes and of course learn about our stuff before anyone else does.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Alex, for joining us. Best of luck with this campaign. As beautiful as that thing looks, I'm sure you guys will do really well, but keep us in the loop. Let us know how it goes.
Thank you so much for having me. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, man.
Bye. Really cool getting to talk to Alex and learn about the games that they've coming out. I'm pretty excited about Reavers of Midgard. Have you guys had a chance to play that one?
Mm-mm. No, I've played Champions, but I haven't played Reavers.
Oh, obviously, same, because here. That was not out yet.
I think I said that wrong.
I'm really excited about getting to play that one because I haven't played it yet. If you want to get a hold of Champions of Midgard, though, you should check out thegamesteward.com. We don't give enough shout-outs to those guys. They are one of our episode sponsors, our show sponsors all the time, and their whole business model is taking Kickstarter games that have already funded successfully in the past and may or may not be available for retail in stores, but making them available online. So if you're looking for some of those games, like Champions of Midgard, they have it available on their website. So go and take a look at that if you get a chance. I think we got a game that we need to play.
Yeah.
Are you guys ready for this?
I am ready.
Okay.
Do you know that you're playing it?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, boy. Is this the secret thing you did with Xander in the other room?
This is the secret thing. So we're going to call this game Interns Kids Say the Darndest Things.
Oh, my goodness.
Xander isn't an intern.
This is true, but we needed some balancing force. So I was going to ask your daughter questions about you guys. Her responses were a little hard to understand.
Okay.
But I did ask Dan's daughter, how old is your daughter?
She's 5.
She's 5. And I asked our son, who's 6, some questions about you guys. And then I want to see if you can match their answers. So we've got 5 questions. And you guys write down what you think they would say. Not necessarily what the correct answer is, but what you think they would say.
Oh, goodness.
And then we'll see how many of them you can get right. Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
When I asked Olivia how old her dad was, she said, and when I asked Xander how old his mom was, he was not even close.
Hey, that's cheating. You're giving Anderson.
Yeah, you write what Xander said.
You're giving Sarah an advantage.
Sure. Yeah. There's no way she can.
Favoritism.
Come on.
This is the life of an intern. That's how it works. All right. Then I asked them, what is your parents, or just you individually, favorite color? How well do they know you?
Oh. These are some hard-hitting journalistic questions.
Right? Level age 5 and 6. What is your favorite game?
Your favorite game.
Right.
My favorite game?
Yeah. Xander, what is mom's favorite game? Boom. Immediately answered this one.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Really? Sarah's like, I'm having to think through what I would even say.
I know what my real favorite game is not what he said, because he has never played or actually probably seen me play this.
So don't write that one down.
Is it that Target exclusive of Codenames?
Could be. All right, next up. What is your favorite food? These are all board game related somehow. I don't know.
What would my daughter say? My favorite food.
She seemed confident in this answer.
Oh, great.
So maybe. Great. Maybe you've told her to eat this recently. I don't know.
This is a shot in the dark.
Right?
Some of these I actually feel like I might know.
Yeah.
Not this one.
Next up, what is your job?
this is a trick question, right? Will.
Isn't it? I know.
It is.
Because she associates this as my job.
Oh, does she? Nice.
As your internship.
She was excited to
job?
Be here tonight. That's all I know.
Oh, she was thrilled.
She was having the time of her life playing Wii with my boys earlier. All right, and then final question. After you go to bed, what does your dad and or mom do all night?
Oh, my. Hopefully it's sleep. Although I've recently learned that some of our friends told their children that they eat ice cream every time they go to bed, and their kids were so upset.
That was actually the inspiration for this question. I saw that post on Facebook, and they were like, "Mom, all you guys do is watch TV and eat ice cream when we go to bed." I was like, "Right, that's what we're supposed to do." What is that? Okay, let's review. I'll ask the question. You guys give me your answers, and then I'll tell you the correct answer. How old did they say you are?
Xander said I was 31.
31.
Olivia said I was 33.
Boom, she nailed it. You got it. Xander said, with a very confused look on his face, 16?
Sarah! High five! Yeah. High five, that one!
I figured that one's worth losing if that was... Okay. No point. Shucks.
I'll gladly take 16.
Oh, Xander, he's a charmer.
Right? Dan, what did Olivia say is your favorite color?
So I put green and then I crossed it out and put blue.
Oh, she said black.
Black.
See, we were talking about colors on the way, and I was like, don't you think black's a good color? And she's like, well, that's not really a girl color.
Oh,
like,
true. Oh, okay. But
so
now she
thinks, so now she thinks that's your color.
Does Xander have any idea what your favorite color is?
Said purple.
Whoa! He said purple!
Yes. Whoa!
Is that actually your favorite color?
Yes, we've talked about it. Nice. Purple is
and
one
teal.
Of the,
okay, yeah, there's a couple in there.
I have more than one favorite.
Dan, what is your favorite game?
So the game I'm thinking of would be One Deck Dungeon, or she might have called it the dice game.
She called it soccer.
my mind.
Right? Good answer. I think she was probably right. Sarah, what is your favorite game?
Well, I have no idea what he put.
What did you think he put?
Originally, I saw Happy Salmon on the shelf, but I put Don't Mess with Cthulhu.
He said pretty confidently that Monopoly is your favorite game. It was hard for me not to laugh when he said that in the recording. Every answer they gave me, I was like, right, you got it right. Good job. What's the next answer? He said that one, and I couldn't
not laugh.
It
doesn't help that we just played a Monopoly game at your parents' house this last week.
Oh, too funny. Okay. Dan's favorite food is?
Hamburger.
And Sarah said?
I said tacos.
What? You had the easy one. Dan's favorite food is actually mashed potatoes.
I do love some good mashed potatoes.
Right? And Sarah says pizza. Come on. I thought you knew that one.
I should have. That's what he wants to be when he grows up.
He wants to be a pizza?
He wants to make pizza.
Oh, okay.
He wants to own his own pizza store.
Is your job?
Something in computers.
She said... IT.
Wow!
Nailed it.
Impressive. Yes.
Sarah, what's your job?
I put teacher.
Hey, he actually said, teach them diligently. Way to go.
Diligently, that's a good word.
Our kids struggled a little on the pronunciation of that, but I got what he was saying. What does your dad do all night after you go to bed?
Sleep or maybe watch TV.
He doesn't do anything.
I did
probe
your
life
little,
is over,
I probed
which is
a little
no
further, right? And she did say, sleep, I think. But we're going to go with doesn't do anything because that was too funny. What does Sarah do all night after the kids go to bed?
I put play games.
He wrote, he said, text.
That's actually
nailed it. Yep. How many points did you guys get?
I have two.
Two.
Hey, all right. Good, Jared.
33%.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, it's great in baseball, which actually is my favorite game.
Oh,
yeah.
Second to soccer and dungeon games. So. Cool stuff. Well, I think we got one other tiny tidbit that we were going to talk about tonight, and then I think that's pretty much it. Sarah, do you want to give us the to fill in for Kevin here and give us the news?
So every episode, we have been giving away some information about our Kickstarter for Tantrum House Season 6 coming on April 2nd. Another promo card that we will have available is for In the Hall of the Mountain
Woo-hoo!
King.
Mm,
this
It'd
is
cool.
from Burnt Island Games. And this one has just successfully funded on Kickstarter. And the promos, they are going to have two trolls that will be from Tantrum House.
Nice.
And they will be in the game.
Right. I think I'm excited about being a troll.
And they will be manufactured with the rest of the game, which they're already on their way working on that. So one nice thing is that the promo cards will be exactly the same as the other ones. You won't have any print issues, which every once in a while people come across problems with some color issues. So
yeah, that'll be cool. That'll be nice. We're really excited about that one. I think they've left it up to us, like, who those characters will be. I don't know if they're going to just be generic trolls or what, but I kind of thought this might be a good opportunity for our interns to get some face time.
I make it in as a troll.
Eating mashed potatoes.
I do feel like you and Larry in troll form would be a pretty fantastic card.
That would
card,
be pretty
I
gotta epic, admit. Yeah.
Well, cool. Thank you guys so much for joining us for this episode. It's been a blast. We had a lot of fun laughing it up. I hope you guys did, too. Be sure to check out our YouTube channel. We've got a bunch of new games coming out. I think Kevin just, well, it'll be a week old by now, but just posted his all the board games coming to Kickstarter for the first half of March. And I know that we've been working on a bunch of reviews, too, so there'll be some fun stuff coming soon. And then, yeah, keep an eye out for our Kickstarter. We'll obviously release some additional tidbits of news as we go along. Katie was talking right before the episode started about some ideas that she has for her quest card. So
yeah, but we're keeping a lid on it.
Yeah, hopefully I can press some of those out of her before we take off tonight. But I think that'll do it for us tonight. So we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you.
Holmes, Holmes.
What is it, Watson?
I think we might have a new case. How can we help, Miss?
It's Mrs. Fields, and I need you to settle a dispute. We have a small home with room for one table. My husband wants a fancy gaming table, but I believe a dining table is more important. I'm sure you agree with me, Mr. Holmes.
What if I told you I could satisfy both your wishes?
I'd say that'd be astounding, Holmes.
The answer is the Holmes, or perhaps the Watson, depending on the size of your room.
You're not making any sense, old chap.
Those are the names of an ingenious product from Game Toppers LLC. The Toppers are a portable solution that turns your current table into a high-end gaming table at a fraction of the cost.
Do you mean to say that the topper can be put on and taken off the table with ease?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. You truly are as amazing as people say. I will take a look at Game Toppers LLC right away.